Happy holidays, Jason.
Happy holidays, Curtis.
It's, you know, I'm slow to get into the mood, although I did put stockings up.
It felt great when I walked in. It was very festive. I have to say, too, I was going to wear one of my brewery shirts or my Everybody's Hungry Racing Team shirt since we got these races coming up this weekend. And I walked in. I'm like, man, we must be lagering here in the Lauter Ton Studios because it is chilly.
Well, and I've been sitting in the house all day and in the studio for most of it. And, you know, this is just a modified garage and there is no heat in here. And I have been chilled through and through.
And it's not uncomfortable with the sweater on and that. But, man, as soon as I walked in, the thought of putting on just a T-shirt escaped quickly.
I know. I've had stops to just the kitchen sink, turn on the hot water, and running my hands under the hot water
I've been doing that last couple of days, especially with washing dishes, but it has dried my hands out something fierce.
Yeah, so it's fun to be back in a special evening session of Pints and Pairings.
And just a shout out real quick to another awesome beer show of the Brewing Network. I see the Hop Grenade here on this glass. I was listening to them the other day. I bought an Apple TV recently. So I've been streaming everything through the TV rather than my laptop, which gets much better stereo sound. And those guys sound amazing on my high-def TV. But it's cool because then I just run the podcast right from the Apple TV apps and do dishes or work at the desk, whatever I want to do, and everything runs the way it's supposed to, doesn't interfere with the laptop. But he was talking about, I was listening to an episode where he was going off about his hop grenade, so it's kind of cool to see it on the counter.
Well, I actually, they do a handful of things in Southern California events, and one of them is the SoCal Homebrewers Festival, which is in May at some point. It's early May. And actually, it was the weekend of the fire last year, or this year, I guess. Yeah. But so they were all there, and they were selling the glass and the snifter. They were selling that for $5. I couldn't pass it up.
Yeah, nice. Good call on that one.
Right.
This is another good call here. This Baltic Porter from Uncommon Brewers. This is 2 for 2 for them that we've had on the show.
And
this
Baltic
is
Porter,
really
I like
delicious.
Baltic Porters I like above the rest just because generally they're one. This is like 7.8% alcohol, so it's a higher alcohol. It's a little more chocolatey than roasty.
Oh, most definitely. There's no earthy or kind of mushroomy astringent at the end. It's not that kind of fuzzy alcohol that you would get out of a porter, and even a stout is, you know, for that matter, especially one that is this dark. But this is delicious. There is some sweet dark chocolate component in the background.
I thought it was a good way to start off our holiday season.
It even has a little reminiscent of hazelnut.
Yeah, there might be on the front.
You know those Ferrero Rocher or Rocher, whatever, the little hazelnuts wrapped in chocolate ganache with like the little round gold foil.
No, I don't.
You don't? Oh, and let me show you a picture. When you see it, you will be like, oh, yeah, they advertise for those things all the time. You know, definitely a holiday treat.
It shows that there's star anise. It says there's star anise in it, and it's brewed with licorice. I don't get a whole lot of that. I get more chocolatey. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yep. So you recognize the Ferrero Rocher now. Mm-hmm. This is kind of a Ferrero Rocher for me.
And I totally get the hazelnut flavor as well.
Delicious. Good job, Uncommon.
Way to go. And this was, you know, before we even get going too far, and I forget, there are a couple of really special announcements that I want to make sure we get out is, of course, the Beer Cave located at 231, or is it 321? I've got it around here somewhere. Village Commons Market, Village Commons Boulevard right here in Camarillo. They're our beer supplier. And so thank you very much. That's where this one came from. It was a taster that somebody dropped off, and their distributor dropped on and said, hey, do you want to taste this? Should we do it? Whatever.
And you can get their details, their address, and some of their stash and pictures of what they're carrying at their Facebook page, Beer Cave and Deli in Camarillo. Go ahead and give them a like.
There it is. And then usually on a Thursday night, I'm doing another podcast, Happy Hour.
I know. I talked to Joby yesterday. He was kind of sad.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Well, he's got his plate full. I understand being sad.
Pun intended, with the holiday restaurant.
Restaurant's full. He's got two brand new babies at home. And so,
you should have seen him beaming too. We were talking about his twins, and he's like, my lifestyle hasn't changed drastically yet, but right. About a week or two when the babies come home. But his smile, he had a little womanly glow about him.
So I saw him a couple days ago with my folks. I stopped in and had lunch there, and it was his first day back in like 10 days or something. And so, I just happened to catch him there, and he was showing off pictures. So usually I'm there, and we're driving gives me a ride home. Now we're kind of flipping this around. So instead of a Ventura to Camarillo run, they're doing the Camarillo to Ventura run with you. They're going to come pick you up.
I'm excited.
And take
it's my
you home.
Yeah.
So
it's the first time the Honda is going to be graced by a weird driving representative.
Well, and what's nice too is, I mean, we're real careful about making sure we moderate whenever we start at 9:30 in the morning.
Sure.
And that we have lunch and we're all set to go afterwards. You know, we're not leaving. And so tonight is kind of, you know, we can kind of pour ourselves a half a glass.
I noticed.
Or more.
It was definitely heavy handed compared to our morning broadcast.
Right.
But thankfully we
can sniff this and enjoy it and everything else. But, you know, we can take a little more enjoyment out of.
And I could use a little hair of the dog. I went to BB King last night
at
the Majestic Ventura Theater. That man at 88 years old, turned 88 in September, him and his band rocked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had Guy Martin open for them, Guy Martin and his band. And then BB King came out. They only played maybe 6 or so songs, but they elongated those songs with a lot of instrumentation in that. We probably had a good hour and a half or so of music with BB King on stage the entire time. His voice at 88 is amazing. It's deep and booming, and he was telling jokes, getting the audience engaged, picking on his band. There were probably 10 guys up there playing guitar and bass, trumpet, saxophone.
Wow.
It was awesome.
Well,
checked it off the list.
A good friend of mine is a huge fan of him, and he had seen him. He's seen him a couple of times, and I need to go and
yeah,
go
you
got
you got to make.
But what's really great? I mean, you know, before anything happens to the poor guy.
Unfortunately, I mean
diabetic,
that's a reality,
and he's 88 years.
That's
old.
A reality, and like I said, his voice was like he was 35 or 40. It was booming and crisp.
Nice.
But he rolled up to the edge of the stage in a chair.
Mm-hmm.
But then he got up and walked to his seat and everything. He was mobile, but at 88, you got to be careful. You know, he's.
I know. Well,
if you see him again, I was fortunate. It's only 2 blocks from my apartment. Right. But if you see a bill for him again, just go check it off your list. That guy's a legend.
Yeah, you know. I've seen that he's been, he makes the Southern California circuit. So, you know, whether it's Santa Barbara or even the Canyon Club or anything, you know, any up and down the coast, it seems like he's in and around. So that's always nice to see that he's around. You know, I'm looking and I see that I still have my logo up and everything else. I'm going to turn that off.
No one wants to see our ugly mugs. No, they like your logo better.
The Google Plus logo. I got you a present, Jason. It's right there. Go ahead. I saw this.
I don't know what to say.
I saw this, and happy holidays to you. So I saw it, and I knew
that
you
chuckled. I'm a little reluctant to open.
No. I knew it. It was made for you. There were several varieties of these. Don't just open it, would you? I'm not going to save the paper.
I feel bad though because I didn't know we were doing an. You know,
I like to make people feel awkward. That's for sure.
Oh no! Shit. These are awesome. All right, so for those at home, some beer socks.
Beer socks.
This is amazing, and for those out there, I've only done it a couple times, but on my Instagram, Everybody's Hungry Instagram account, I do occasionally a hashtag Food Sock Friday. And I've done a taco sock so far. I've done turkey socks. And I have some beer mug socks that are dark brown. But these are actually the effervescent bubbles and carbonation with a little creamy head on the top of the...
There it is.
These are awesome. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
That's
amazing. Well, so
that's awesome.
You can go ahead and get a few...
We will be tagging these in a photo to come soon.
Target has some food socks, and I was just walking through.
That's where I get most of my.
Okay,
those
so I'd seen a couple of them. There was a hamburger one. There was something else. I'm like, I had the hamburger one, and then I saw the beer, and I thought, oh, okay, no, this is what I need to do.
No, these are perfect.
There we go.
These are perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. And
They had at one time, they had some popcorn socks where your leg looked like the box with popcorn kernels at the top.
Oh, yeah.
And dare I say, some ketchup and mustard bottles on another pair where one side, the top of the band and the heel were red and the other one was gold for ketchup and mustard with the bottles on the side. I think the place is begging for more food socks.
There you go.
Yeah, I will wear these with pride.
Like the world is begging for more food socks or just
Just Target to start.
Just Target in general. Yeah. Okay, we'll start.
These will definitely be worn with pride.
Well, I'm a white sock. I've got a pair of white socks, a pair of brown, and a pair of black. And I mean, I've got a bunch of white ones, but that's it. I don't go crazy in there. So, but I thought, you know what? I can't pass this up. This is certainly something to kick off our holiday season.
I appreciate it.
You know, with a clock, a sock bang. A clock
bang. That Baltic Porter's hitting.
I don't know what's happening.
So. I do like your stockings, though. Is there any background or history with the two stockings?
No, actually, no. I was looking for something to drape over that dreadful background.
But they weren't made like a family member or anything?
No, that dreadful background. I had a Christmas tablecloth that I was going to drape over that, but then it just looked like it was a tablecloth draped over a dreadful background. So I'm like, this doesn't work either. So I was looking around and then I saw those. I thought, oh, you know what? Generally I have got a couple beer ornaments that I hang from the taps, but I did this. So that's what I ended up doing just for the show.
Oh, it looks great. It's festive.
Thank you. It seemed like, races. I mean, yeah. You know, one of the things too is, you know, we do plenty of running between the two of us, and you are certainly fitness oriented than I am. But we've got a half marathon. Well, first of all, not only do we have a half marathon on Sunday, but you're running a Spartan race on Saturday, which just seems
insane to me. I've not always been known for my most intelligent decisions, but I was excited about this. My brother got me into the Spartan races last year, a little more than last year. We went and did a Spartan sprint at the Fort Carson, I believe, in Colorado. It was their military sprint. They only do one military sprint a year. So that means it's like 4.5 or so miles. And with the military version, there were like 30 obstacles included. They just jam-packed full of all these obstacles. A lot of stuff that actually the guys at the base go through for their PT and for their training. We enjoyed it, had a good time. And then he decided, let's do another one. He's like, I want to do one closer to you, though. And the closest one that we found at the time with the timing that was available was in Monterey. And the damn thing was the beast version, which is a half marathon distance. And it was grueling because it was mostly hills Monterey and Salinas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, painful. A little over 4 hours, like 4 hours, 5 minutes, just gnarly. And I was like, I'm not doing another. This is dumb. I'm not doing another one of these. But the Malibu came up on the list.
Then here comes another one.
The Malibu list came up, and I talked to a couple friends that had seen my pictures, like, oh, maybe I should do one. Let's do one. And so I'm like, all right, well, I'm only going to sign up if other people are going to do it. I'm not going to proactively sign up by myself and hope others join on the train
right. Because
of the half marathon the mm-hmm. next day. Well, a few people took the initiative and, like, we're doing it. Just make the team happen. And I did. And then some of them bailed out. But there's two of us. We're going to do it. It's like 4.25 mile or something, 15 obstacles. We're not trying to break any world records. We're just going to finish, get our medal, get our victory beer, and say that we did it. And then the next morning, turn around, I'm going to do Santa to the Sea, which is a great race here in Ventura County. It gets a lot of exposure. Their primary drive is the Toys for Tots. Mm-hmm. If anyone's interested, go to santatothesea.com. Not .org, right? Let's
just
check.
Look for it.
Yeah, just look for it. It's Santa to the Sea. It's a big race, a lot of runners. It's pretty flat and straight out course, fast. But people dress up. They get decorated. A girl 1 year ran as a present, and she literally used a cardboard box, and her arms were like...
I don't know how people run in costumes.
Well, I can understand how they run in costumes. The logistics of it is challenging. My competitive spirit will never let me get that crazy. Because when I get out on the course, I want to run. Mm-hmm. But also, it benefits my partner, Everybody's Hungry's partner, Foodshare, Ventura County. So we have Team Foodshare running. We have like 33 racers right now that are signed up or have pledged to run as part of Team Foodshare, trying to raise money for that organization. And pretty excited. They're all going to be wearing either Everybody's Hungry racing team shirts or our other sponsor and partner, Inside Track. They're doing a singlet for the run club that says, "We run so they can eat" on the back.
Oh, nice.
With everybody's logo. So there'll be plenty of representation, and I'm pretty excited to have that group involved.
Well, I'm looking forward to the race. And
we're looking for a good time out of you.
I'm hoping to. I've had a fantastic training season, and better than I've ever done. And I think My knees held out this whole time. Sometimes I have some knee trouble.
Races are really impactful on your body.
Mm-hmm, but I've been doing some weight training with my knees.
Just with your knees.
Well, I've been doing both. but the important part was the squats and some of the leg curls and presses that I've been doing, strengthening the tendons and muscles around my knees. And it's impacted my speed, which is a side benefit that I never was planning on.
To blow out.
Right. I just didn't want
my knees. That's a great thing. I mean, I've seen, you know, probably as you have as well, a lot of professional athletes, they have issues. They build up the area around the issues. They strengthen everything else to try to support it. And you just happen to luck out with a little extra speed.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. And I ran the Big Sur Half Marathon, which is, they have the Big Sur International Marathon, which is the one where you see all the beautiful pictures along the coast. This one was pretty much in Monterey. It went out to the coast a little bit and came back in. And I thought I had trained really well for that, and I was looking for a good time on that. And I did not race the race I trained for.
Okay.
And so I took off just burning out of it, and it killed me. And then I was looking to finish well under 2 hours, and I finished at 2:01. This time I'm looking at like a 1:50 is what I'm training at. And so if I can stick with that and find the 8:30 group, I can run the 8:30s. And on the last half of that race, I can start picking up the pace too. Because I've been running 8:20s. So
nice.
The fact that it's flat and it's going to be straight, you know, I mean,
it's a great race to hit a PR. And my dad and I have a little friendly competition. He used to be a really fantastic cross country and distance runner in high school, and in his younger years he's run the Marine Corps Half Marathon. And actually he said if they had been able to make money as runners when he was growing up, he probably would have been a professional runner. He used to train under Hal Higdon. He's friends with Hal's son. And they grew up together, ran together. Look him up if anybody's out there who's a runner.
That's my half marathon. Yeah. The Hal Higdon training schedule. That's what I've used for a couple marathons that I've trained for and for.
He knows what he's talking about. And my dad, like I said, was friends with his son. They ran together a lot. We have a little friendly competition going, though, because my dad's been watching my progress and run a lot of races in the past 2 months. He doesn't think I'm going to come in under 2:08 because of my fatigue. He's like 208 to 215. It's like, unfortunately, you've just been running too many races. You're fatigued. I'm like, Dad, I've never been over 2 hours.
Yeah,
that's significant. It
seems like you've been training at 8:30s or sub 8:30s, right?
My Purdue half marathon, I came in at 7:54 average, and at 1:43:34, something like that. So I want to hit 1:42. Like, I'm always wanting to shave, and it may not be possible. I know it's not realistic. But I told him, like, are you crazy? 208? He's like, you're probably tired.
He's trying to get into your head.
He has to get in my head. So if I do what I expect to and have been training for, when I come in under a minimum under 2 hours, and hopefully a lot better than that where I should be, he's going to send me back some Fannie Mae mint meltaways from the Midwest, because we don't get Fannie Mae out here. Unfortunately, though, if for some reason I stumble and I just can't hold pace and I lose, I'm a little teapot on camera with the movements and everything so that he can post it on his Facebook page.
Well, we've got the equipment here. Yeah, we can give it.
So you're rooting for him, huh?
We can give you a studio quality recording and audio and video.
We
can use the green screen over there too.
A little Holland or Dutch background.
That might be, you know what? That might be your incentive to just kind of take it easy on this race.
I might do it anyway, just to show him that I'm not afraid of it. But I want to come up with a much better showing, because we are running, as I said, under the Everybody's Hungry Racing team, but also for Food Share. Mm-hmm. So I want that logo and that branding to get a good following this year.
Well, and if it's possible to get my shirt before the race too, I'll try and put in a good showing for you.
Oh, you'll definitely get your shirt, my friend. We're trying to up the numbers. If anyone, just for a shameless self-plug, if anyone out listening right now is interested in donating, we have a fundraising page. A lot of the runners do, but you can go to everybodyshungry.org/racing team, and there's a link down there that says Running for Food Share. That's our donation and fundraising page for me and all that money goes straight to Food Share. Every dollar that they raise can be leveraged into $5 worth of assistance. And here in Ventura County, there's upwards of 102,000 individuals who need food assistance or have some kind of food anxiety about where their next meal is coming from. And approximately staggering number, most people think homeless, you know, shelter issues. Almost 90% of the people they're serving are working individuals that are trying to tie the ends together and mm-hmm. turn the corner. So yeah. whatever you can do to help, you know, makes a difference.
Definitely. Well, that's how we keep our girlish figures, because I drink my share of beer, certainly. And
yes, sir.
I would be a toad, a load of toad if I wasn't running. You know what I mean? I'd be Jabba the Hutt, you know, laying
with
around.
A little hose pipe just pumping beer in.
Right, and a little squirrel running around to get me some beer. Little alien squirrel guy. So it's good. I mean, that in itself is what actually motivates me to run, is that I just don't want to be the stereotypical.
And a lot of the races now are offering beer gardens at the end, so that's even more incentive. Well, you burn it during the run, and right. you refuel it at the end.
Well, the last training race, I did a 14-mile run, and that was like 2,200 calories. Boom, just right there.
Yeah.
Now I ate about 500 calories on the run, but you know, that's,
your body will eat that right? up, because you'll continue to burn with activity that strenuous or aggressive. You will continue to burn some calories after the activity has ended. So I think you're well within your threshold of eating and drinking. But Sand of the Sea's got a beer and wine garden this year. They're being sponsored. The Run for the Hungry we did on Thanksgiving morning in San Diego had a good beer garden with some four local breweries that were helping out.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with searching for that beer at the end of the finish line.
Not at all. Not at all. Well, it seems like this has become the Pints and Pairings running show. So maybe we should.
Well, this is still the pre-show, so we get to talk about whatever the hell we want.
That's right. I mean, I think we could probably.
I'd like to talk about chicharrones, maybe like some pig skins or some. Yeah, get any pork rinds?
No, I don't.
That would go good with some chocolatey beer right now. I know. A little salty.
See, the other thing is, you know, generally I have something for us to eat, and it's late in the evening. I'm like, I don't have anything. What happened?
The kids ate all the snacks.
What happened to this week? I know. And the week after Thanksgiving, you think that there would be some food left over, but no, we did a pretty good job of.
Yeah. Before we get off of this pre-show, tell me about the turkey. What happened with Tipsy Turkey?
Tipsy Turkey was great.
Was it as amazing as last year?
I think it fell victim to, I had built it up so much, even to myself. It was still delicious. I mean, it was moist. The bacon was great.
The
skin was crisp. Everything else. My potatoes, I didn't do the, I added a little too much liquid. And so they were really wet mashed potatoes instead of nice and fluffy. And then the turkey I had last year, the bacon grease and the turkey juice naturally dripped into the pan. This bird, you know, which was this organic free range bird, didn't have whatever hole it was in it that
the juices leaked out.
The store bought bird did that I had last year. I mean, so this, it was just clean. So it pooled in the cavity and it didn't drip out. And so I didn't have as much bacon turkey grease to work with when I was making the gravy. It was still delicious, and it was wonderful. I had set my bar so
high.
Yeah,
you'll never be able to perfect it the same way as the first time.
Right. So I think, you know, I'll remember that next year.
We were catered to and treated well this year. Bree's grandmother turned 90, and her Uncle Buster and Aunt Vivian came in from New Orleans, and Uncle Buster used to own a restaurant and had a food show and radio. Like, he was the man. He's still the man in terms of cuisine, but mm-hmm. real quality Southern and New Orleans style cooking. He deboned two turkeys and stuffed them with this rice dressing mix that he created. So it had a great kind of typical stuffing and traditional stuffing flavor, but it was made with rice. Tied them up, laid bacon across them, roasted those. He made loaded whipped potatoes. So a nice fluffy whipped mashed potato with bacon, scallions, cheddar cheese, and a little bit of sour cream. Oh, we were definitely taken care of this year. There was no shortage of deliciousness.
That sounds good. So when you're saying you debone the turkey, are you left with all of this meat?
It's just a big slab of meat. He took the leg bones out and everything, so it just laid out. That allowed him to rub herbs and seasoning inside the meat, And then again, stuff it full of this rice mixture before he bundled it and trussed it up with some butcher's twine.
Huh.
Yeah, I'll show you a picture later. It was delicious.
So you kind of flay it and it just lays out on the table looking exactly. like a turkey.
It gives you an open surface to work with.
Oh, crazy. That's I'm interested in that. We'll take a look at that here. You know what? We've pretty well finished our opening beer.
We have.
And, you know, I've got a bunch of beers in the fridge, that 3-4 other ones to kind of talk about. I don't even remember exactly what styles we're doing. I know they're all special and they're wood aged and some other ones. So we'll just take a look at.
Yeah,
I don't
think
it matters.
Mixture.
I don't think it matters even what order we do these in.
Not at this point.
No.
I mean, we technically, based on our count, we only have two core styles left. Right. But we got four beers to drink through. And the lineup you posted was the Stone Smoked Porter, mm-hmm. Rogue's Juniper Pale Ale, which I'm really intrigued by. I mean, the Juniper, I'm a little anxious because the last time I had a beer that had any kind of juniper mm-hmm. essence in it, it was aged in gin barrels. And it was a harsh beer to get through.
Well, I understand those. With the idea of putting those two together, but
yeah, I had it in a hotel bar in New York. I was just one of those on the menu. I got to try it. It was rough to get through. So I think this is going to be better though, because Rogue is a quality brewery. And you got the brewery Six Geese A-Laying. That's a Belgian style dark ale with Cape Goosenberries, which, I mean, just to say that there's Goosenberries in a beer has got to be fun. And then a great local Firestone DBA. Don't wear it.
Yeah, as we're looking at it, I can already see the progression. I kind of want to do the Six Geese A-Laying as maybe the very last and possibly working into a meltdown show.
I think we can accommodate that. Sounds good. The reason we can do that is because Weird Driving is picking me up at 10 o'clock. So.
That's right, and we have no worries on how anyone's getting home tonight. So generally,
Bree said, just don't wake her up when I walk through the door.
Right, and on the backside, you know, something that people who have been following the show don't realize is that generally we have maybe a third or a half at the most of those beers. And then we cap them back up, put them back in the fridge and chill them down so they don't lose all their carbonation.
I wish we had a studio audience to share with.
But, well, that would be nice, especially if we could get enough to share with them. But I don't want to share if it's going to short us. It's all about us.
So much for the season of giving.
That's right. Happy holidays, everyone. All right, well, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll be back in just a few minutes.